Welcome to a new edition of the Neon Jazz Interview Series with Israeli-born New York-based jazz guitarist and composer Yuval Amihai. His new 2022 CD, My 90s Summer, tells the story of a journey through music over two decades and three continents, featuring the great David Kukowski on piano, Eric Wheeler on bass, and Jeremy Dutton on drums. It's on Fresh Sound Records. It goes from his native Israel to Paris, and then to the epicenter of jazz in New York City. He began piano at 8, then switched to the electric guitar at 13. By the time he was 16, he was leading his own bands and performing regularly around the country. Enjoy the story.
Yeah, hi, it's Joe Domino with Neon Jazz Radio.
Hi, Joe.
Thanks for taking a minute out. I appreciate it.
Of course.
You know, when I think of my 90s summer, there's a lot of, I mean, that was my era. So there's a lot of things that go through my head.
Right.
So, you know, talk to me a little bit about, as we get into kind of this album, talk to me a little bit about, this is coming out during the tail end of a pandemic. There are more opportunities to perform live, promote this. And just overall, how does it feel to have a new album out right now?
It feels great. First of all, it always feels great to have a new album coming out. But this one is pretty special for me for a number of reasons. First of all, it's the first album I've recorded here in the U.S., so it's my U.S. debut. So this is a big thing for me. I lived in France, in Paris before that, for over a decade, and released three albums there, but the first one here. And also with amazing musicians that I wanted to record with for a while, before the pandemic even started. But then, you know, of course, everything got delayed. Yeah, I feel very lucky to have been able to do this almost during the pandemic, right after the vaccines came out, and yeah, super excited about it.
So what does My 90s Summer mean? What is the meaning behind this? How is that infusing the music?
Basically, moment in time, like a summer in the 90s, this is like for me when I really started, when I really knew for the first time I was going to be, you know, a musician and dedicate my life to it. Because as I grew up in the south of Israel, I kind of needed to wait, especially for the summers. But, you know, any, like, break to be able to go to Tel Aviv and the bigger cities in Israel to be able to listen to jazz and to play with other musicians, to go to, at the time, there was a big jazz festival, also in Eilat, which is a city in the south of Israel, every summer. So this is where it all kind of started for me. And this album includes some things I've written back then and all over the years and just never really had a chance to record them before. So that's kind of the beginning of the musical journey for me.
Speaking of journeys, you know, we've been on quite a two-year haul here with the pandemic, and I'm curious,
yeah,
what did you learn about yourself over this time, or what skills did you acquire over this time of self-reflection that maybe you didn't have before that will make you stronger as you promote this first U.S. released album?
A good question. I think I was, you know, it made me, I was able kind of to take maybe a wider perspective. It depends also when in the pandemic, because the first few months and basically until almost the first year was pretty frightening to be honest there, because, you know, nobody knew what was going to happen. But, you know, until that, yeah, I mean, since things have kind of come down, you know, it definitely helped me take a bigger perspective on things and on my life, being able to really, you know, absorb even more deeply all the great experience that I had since the moment I moved here and started living in New York. It was like early 2018. Yeah, I mean, since day one until March 15, or I can't remember the exact date, whenever everything closed down in 2020, it was like a huge roller coaster ride for me. Very exciting, but also, you know, very intense sometimes. So it did kind of help take, you know, like kind of getting everything into a more balanced rhythm in life, probably. And also, you know, it made me think here, I have this bunch of compositions, this music that I like and I wrote, and I never did have a chance to record it with, you know, even more so with such great musicians. So I think it also helped me to just go for it, you know, and not think too much about it.
You have mentioned Israel and France, and it sounds like you have a pretty interesting lineage life story here. Talk to me about where you were born and raised and how jazz kind of became a pursuit for you and your profession as of now.
Yeah, I was born in the south of Israel, so Israel on its own, it's a pretty small country, but the south is a desert. So I was kind of, it wasn't on the most remote part. It was a small place, and to feel really like, used to go a lot to Tel Aviv, which is like cultural hub, you know, main city for a lot of things. When I was in my early teens, I started to play music as a kid, like piano, but then I quit piano, but as a teen, I started like really early with the electric guitar, learning on my own. And then a good friend of mine moved to Tel Aviv and, you know, kind of exposed me to all these musical styles and cultures and things that I didn't even know existed that much before. And with the jazz and all the world that is jazz. And it's pretty... you know, pretty fast became my passion and the thing I just did all the time. After, you know, at 18, I had to go to the army for 3 years, which is mandatory in Israel. But after that, I just wanted to, you know, start my, to go and learn music, basically, first of all, really like abroad. I wanted thought about going to Berkeley or Europe. And at the end, I was really interested in classical music at the time. Because I was also writing like string quartets and things like that. These are things I started to do kind of on my own when I had some time during my military service because I couldn't play that much with other people. So I started writing a lot. And, I have also French nationality, even though I didn't never go there. I never went there before. I was like 24. I inherited this dual nationality. So, you know, I wanted to learn classical music, classical guitar, and also keep playing jazz, but wanted to see how it was in Paris. So that's what brought me there.
So what about the jazz musical influences? Who really swayed you when you were getting into it?
I think my first, you know, big influences, I started out listening to a lot of fusion. I listened to a lot of Scott Henderson, which I... you know, still really admire his playing, even though in the, I guess, you know, my style had, I had many other influences later, you know, which were more and more like in like more close to the jazz world, which is Scott Henderson. He's got a lot of sounds from the blues and rock, but that's what kind of started me out in it. And then Pat Metheny, but then in a very early age, you know, I just discovered all the great guitar players like Joe Pass, Wes Montgomery, and then all the great piano players, which had a lot of influence on me. So Chick Corea, you know, I think especially in this album, a lot of the tunes I wrote, you know, I wrote them at the time where I was listening to a lot of Chick Corea groups, you know, especially like Return to Forever and this era, Michael Brecker, Pat Metheny, a lot of things like that. You know, all along, and always also just spending a lot of time with the great fathers of jazz guitar, you know, all the great ones. Of course, I listen to a lot of Coltrane, a lot of other things, but also to a lot of songs and popular music that was pretty popular in the 70s and 80s in Israel, and it was on its own, like, influenced by bossa nova and also jazz, like 70s style jazz. So yeah, all kind of mixed together.
So what was your first live jazz show that you ever saw that really blew you away?
That's hard to say. Wow, because, you know, I, as a kid, I remember any time I would see a live show, I would be blown away. I just loved seeing people perform music. I can think of so many, but like, I mean, it's for sure not the first, but when you ask this question, I want to say Wayne Shorter Quartet with Brian Blade and John Petitucci and Danilo Perez in about, it was the end of the 90s. They came to Israel, and I was already, like, in the army, so I couldn't just go. But I had to do, you know, just so many things and, like, come up with reasons and excuses. And I got the pass to go for a few hours to this small town when they came perform in a very unlikely way. I couldn't believe they came to play there. And, yeah, that was definitely one of the most unforgettable shows I've seen.
When you did come to America, mm-hmm. What kind of culture shock was it? Was it a dream of yours always to come to America?
Yeah, it was. It definitely was. During my time I lived in Paris, I wanted to come for a while and even, you know, even just for a visit. But moving here also was always kind of in the direction in my mind. And first time I finally managed to come just for a few weeks, it was in 2014. It was just, I knew I was going to move here soon. So it felt great. I really, you know, I loved New York right away. And, no, I wouldn't say a cultural shock, because the bigger cultural shock was when I moved from Israel to France. That was a bit of a cultural shock. I mean, I don't know if shock is the right way, because it was good in the most part, but there was a lot of new things I needed to learn, you know, culturally, of course, the language and a lot of things and ways people think. Here I always felt at home somehow, you know, I always felt much more just very familiar with things, even though, you know, even when it was only the first time I came here. So yeah, always felt great. And I came here with my family, with my son, he was 2 at the time when we moved here. And yeah, you know, raising him here and very happy.
What is it that you look forward to the most every day you wake up as a professional musician? What motivates you?
Playing my music for people, for the people, you know, playing live. This is really the biggest motivation I have. Playing with other musicians, like any situation where the music is really happening in a live and real way, meaning, you know, playing with other people and in front of other people. And that's also something in New York City that's so present. Of course, that was the toughest part in the pandemic for me and for so many other jazz musicians, is like just being with other people, playing with other people, and playing for other people. You can never replace that, you know, with Zoom and videos and stuff. Yeah, now it's back, so that's super exciting, and that's what motivates me more than everything. It's just like being in that moment when I'm making music at the moment, you know, and all the rest of the time just kind of always trying to be prepared and, you know, as sharp as I can, and look for new ideas and communicate in the most, you know, like natural and interesting way.
Talk to me a little bit about, you know, when we, you know, start getting back more and more to live music. What do you hope we all realize about the power of live music that we've largely been away from for 2 years?
You know, I kind of think that people have always appreciated and knew like the great value of live music, and always will. I feel it's like as much as artists, performing artists, you know, we're suffering from not being able to perform. A lot of people also in the audience, you know, were suffering from not being able to go and see shows. I think it became, even like since the revolution in the music industry with the digital streaming, etc., like, you know, so I think live concerts became even more important, not only for musicians again, but also for people who really, for them, that's the only way to get the real experience. And I think a lot of people realizing that now even more than ever, you know?
Why do you love jazz? You know, this is something that you've devoted your life to. You clearly love it. So why do you love it?
I love it because it's a voice, it's a language for me to express myself and to communicate with other people. It's a universal language, which is something that's beautiful to me, you know, which I can go any place in the world and we'll have a common language we can actually communicate through. Also, I think there is a lot of connection between, you know, jazz and almost, you know, many, many, many things in American culture that I really love, you know, and that comes from, you know, a troubled history, but like the result, like the black culture and the white culture and everything mixed up, I think it's just something beautiful. And that's it, I think.
Everyone has a perception of you or an idea of who they think you are, your family, your friends, your fans, but ultimately you live your life. Who do you think you are?
I'm Yuval. I'm a musician, guitarist, and dad, husband. Yeah, that's who I think I am in general, I think. Hopefully, you know, good person, an artist, so someone who tries to create and to share with others.
I like it, man. Yuval, thank you for taking some time out for Neon Jazz today. Good luck with the album and the return to the stage.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thanks for listening and tuning in to another Neon Jazz interview, where we give you a bit of insight into the finest players in Paris, Israel, and New York City, and Kansas City. If you want to hear more interviews, go to Famous Interviews with Joe Domino on the iTunes Store. Visit NeonJazz at YouTube.com. And for everything Neon Jazz all the time, go to the NeonJazz.blogspot.com. Until next time, Enjoy the jazz, my friends.
Neon Jazz.